Let us pray. God, the time we share is sacred time. A time where we are gathered together in a different rhythm than the rest of our lives. A time when we are together to listen for you, to you, to experience you in the words, in the music, in the presence of each other. And now, God, be present with us as we hear your word proclaimed. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So this is the third time in my life I have preached this sermon, 1992, 2010, and now 2017. And by now, I'm sure that everyone has heard that I'll be retiring at the end of January 2018. Sometimes you need to preach, and sometimes you just need to talk to your congregation, so I'm just going to talk. And I want to start my talk today with something that happened yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, when we were celebrating my 30th anniversary, I told you there and talked to Daniel about this group of friends that I have that don't care I'm a minister. And I spent all day yesterday with them. We have been together, I guess the longest friend from there is grade 3, back in John Ross Robertson. That's how long I've known him. And we've been getting together, as I've said before in preaching, we've been getting together with what we call the World Euchre Championship now for 42 years. For 42 years. And I really love this time together, and I was looking around and talking and sharing the journey. Because when we started this 42 years ago, I started at my friend David's, and David lived right on at St. Germain, right at the back of the church, ironically enough. And we would get there, and we would spend all day playing cards, and then into the evening, and then when the cards were done, Bob Marley would go in the tape player, and we would party and dance until 2 a.m. Not now. And we would do that for years and years, and that was what we did into our late teens and early 20s and into our 20s until, well, the babies arrived. And once the babies arrived, you were still up to 2 a.m., but not because you were dancing until 2 in the morning. You were up because your baby couldn't sleep, and you were up feeding and walking them around. That was certainly our lives. And so that shift happened in our lives together. And then it was school-age children, and then it was teenagers. And in my group of friends, we have a fairly long gap, or not gap, but balance of terms of when people had their children early and when later. I think one of my friends, their oldest kid is in their young adult is in their 30s, and the youngest is just finished grade 10 in high school. So we have this sort of rich diversity that way. And we went around, and I was spending time with my friends, and I was hearing the stories. And the stories, a number of them have retired already or are heading into it. And some of the stories were great, and some of the stories, well, there's starting to be some health issues. I had a friend of mine, one of my friends there, he was really excited. He climbed the CN Tower up the stairs. Took him 28 minutes. But he was really disappointed because his previous time was 23 minutes. And in between, he had a quadruple bypass. I think 28 minutes is pretty good. I would take the elevator. And there were others who had other health issues that were coming up. And one of our friends couldn't be there because she's still recovering from surgery. A number of them have had brushes with cancer. I don't know if you actually ever have a brush with cancer, but they've had to deal with that. I have another friend of mine who couldn't make it yesterday, and she and her husband are both artists, performing artists, and she started a theater company this past year called Well-Seasoned Productions. Well-Seasoned Productions. And her belief is that people need to see themselves on the stage. And so in their first season, it's all actors of a certain age and vintage, people who don't get to perform much anymore. And as she said, we're not tucked, we're not plastic surgeoned, we are what we are. And I love that. And as I thought of the stories of all of my friends and the ones who are moving to the West Coast, the ones who are making changes, what I realized is the one thing that we do not have as nearly as much as I thought was time. that we simply, you know, 42 years, we were never going to get old because we were always going to be young. We were certainly never going to get 60. That wasn't going to happen. But time is limited. It's limited. You don't have, it's not something you can get more of. And you don't know how long you have. You know, my mom died at 64. She was 64 years old. And my dad retired the year she died. And so they had all sorts of plans. They never got to live. They never got to experience. My dad's retirement was not fun. It was not fun for him. And I have seen as a minister far too often people who have had plans and say, one day we're going to do this. When I retire, we're going to do this. When I get to that time, we're going to do this. And they wait too long, and something happens. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. But the truth is, we don't know what that time is going to look like or how much it is. And that led me to the decision that I made in concert with Wendy, having consulted widely with my friends and colleagues, and I talked to them, and I had to ask myself, do I have the energy to do the job that I want to do here? Because there's only one way, by the way, I know how to do this job. I'm either all in or I'm not. I'm not one of those people who can, well, I'll just sort of slow down. I'm just not wired that way. I don't know else how to do it other than the way I do it. And I recognize, too, that, well, let me put it this way. When I came here, my best friend Bob said to me, you know, listen, when you go to Fairlawn, it's going to be different than when you were at Westminster. When you went to Westminster, you were like Jesus to that church. You don't have to be Jesus to Fairlawn. You need to be John the Baptist. So, well, what do you mean? He says, your job isn't to be Jesus. Your job is to prepare the church for the next stage of their life. You're to go in there and you're to see what's going on. You're to get it on its feet. You're going to get it rolling. You're going to make sure it's vibrant and thriving. And then it's time for someone else. That's why you're going there. I thought, but I kind of like being Jesus. It was nice. I mean, it didn't end well for Jesus ultimately, but you know, it was kind of nice. But he was right. I mean, Bob was, he's always right. That's what's so annoying about my friend Bob. But he was right. That was my job here. No, it was, I'm still not done. I'm not at the door yet. But that's been my job, is to get this church right, because I wasn't going to be here 20 years. Because I'm 60, and I'll be 61 in September. And I don't have the time I'd like to have. I'd like to be 40 again and come back and give you that 20 years. But I haven't got that time. So what do I want to do with my life? And what is fair to you as a church? When I talk about retirement, it's not retirement. It's, as Wendy says, pause and reinvent. And part of it is a need for rest. This past year, what we went through with Elizabeth was more traumatic than I suspect you fully realized, or Wendy and I fully realized. It's coming up to a year, July 12th, and I'm occasionally getting some flashbacks. So I've been dealing with post-traumatic stress, as you know, for this past year, and it took a toll. This took a much greater toll than we expected. The outcome has been great. She's doing wonderfully, but it cost. It was hard, and it's taken a chunk from us, and we both need time to heal together, and we need to do things together that are life-affirming. And there are other things with my life that I want to do. I haven't written a book. My last book came out in 2009. And the reality is my writing time was in the morning when I would get up and I would work for 2 hours. And then I would go to work, which was 10 minutes away. But my writing time is now my commuting time. And so I haven't had the opportunity to do that. And there's at least 2, if not 3 books sitting inside of me that I really want to get out that I don't have time right now. And I want to do that. There's a story from my time here that I want to share. And that's the only way I can do it is if I have that time to write it. And I think it's a story that needs to be told, and I need to tell it. So I need to be able to do that. And I'll be honest, the drive isn't getting more fun. The last 2 years, it's gotten worse. And I think the most redundant job in the GTA right now is that of traffic reporter. Because this is what the traffic's like. This is what I could do every morning, just stand up, go on 680 and say, the traffic across the GTA is really, really bad. In parts, it's awful. And the parts where it isn't awful will soon be awful. So have a great day. Because that's the reality. It doesn't matter what time I leave now. I can leave. I left at 12. I worked at, I had some meetings in Whippy. I had some stuff to do at home. I was working in the evening, so I didn't leave till 12 o'clock. I thought, poo-hoo, no problems. I think it was last Wednesday. And it took me over an hour because there were multiple accidents on the westbound 401. Because there always are multiple accidents on the westbound 401. And that takes its toll. That takes its toll. And I'm at a point in my life, too, where I'm happy to be an elder of the church, in the sense is that I want to consult with congregations. I may do some short-term placements, some short-term work. I have, I believe, skills and wisdom that can assist congregations in transition and in trouble. And I would like to be able to do that. I would like to be able to help the wider church in a way I haven't had the chance to do in these last few years. And there are things that Wendy and I want to do together while we're in good health and mobile and able to. So as I've said, I preached a sermon three times, 1992, 2010, 2000, and now 2017. And I know I have one last time to talk about Fairlawn's future, and that's today. After this, you won't really listen to me about Fairlawn's future. And I get that, and that's okay. And frankly, I shouldn't talk about it because my job is a different job between now and the end of January. But I am going to give you some advice, some wisdom, and I beg you to listen. There have been, in the two times I've preached this sermon, one church listened to what I said, and the second did not. The church that did listen is thriving and healthy and doing great. The church that did not is now doing halftime ministry. And I am not saying they are doing halftime ministry because they didn't listen to my advice, but I am saying that there was a series of events that occurred because they didn't listen that led them to where they are. So I beg you to listen to me. And the most important piece of advice I can give you is to take your time. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Take your time in discernment of what it is this congregation wants to be in the next stage of its life and what are the characteristics you're looking for in the minister who will take you there and walk with you there. Take your time. In my first church, I said, take your time, it's not a rush. And they rushed out, and they called a good friend of mine, one of my closest friends. And they thought they were getting someone like me, because they knew she was one of my closest friends. But the reason we were really close friends is we were completely different people. I'm a bit of an extrovert. I'm quite engaged. I mean, I like to talk, and I like to be in presence, and I'm an extrovert, and that's just who I am. She's an introvert. She's very reflective. She processes things. We handle things completely differently. And it wasn't happy. It wasn't happy. And Westminster listened. And they took their time, and they spent time in interim ministry, because after 18 years, and I'm not saying you need to go there now, but after 18 years, it took that time to get me. I mean, I was physically gone, but my spirit was in that place for a long time. And they needed to get that up me out of the building, and that took an interim ministry person. Now, I'm not saying you have to go that direction, but what I am saying is, please take your time. Because you don't know who's out there, who might not be out there today, but would be out there in a month or two or a couple of months down the road. It is a time of discernment, and it is time to listen to the Spirit of God. And in the words of my friend John Pentland, be sure you're calling somebody who will lead. and to make sure that they have the space to lead and to be a leader. Because if they don't, neither you nor they will be happy. It will not work. It simply will not work. Let them lead. Take your time. Understand this is an in-between time, and that God and the Spirit are present in these in-between times, in these times of transitions. I've had some wonderful emails that I haven't had a chance to respond to. That's my tomorrow job. And I deeply, deeply appreciate them. And some of them are very sad. One or two of you are kind of mad at me. Yeah, sorry. And a lot of them were sad for us, but we understand for you, which I really appreciate. I love the 2 Timothy passage. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, Paul, when he writes this one called the Pastoral Letters, Paul writes this, and he's sending it to his friend Timothy, and Timothy was one of his representatives in Ephesus, and he was one of his closest friends, and so he was always writing to him to encourage him in the work that he was doing. And he uses this image of a race. In fact, the passage is filled with races, because are about images around races, because that was something that everyone understood. The passage, the line afterwards, talks about a crown that is being given. And that's what you would get, like the crown of oak leaves, if you won the race. So he's using a sports analogy. If he was here, he'd be talking, if Paul was where I am, standing where I am today, he'd no doubt be talking about the Leafs or the Jays, making an analogy that would make sense there. So for those of you who have thought I talk about the Leafs too much, hey, blame Paul. He started back with races. This is what happens, right? So it's about he uses that analogy, pass the baton. That's what it is. I have finished the race. I am passing the baton. It's been passed to me. It's a relay. It's time now to pass it on to someone else. And he says, I am poured out like an oblation. I am poured out. I love this church. Please don't have any question but that I love this church. And I love all of you. And I have poured out the best of what I've had and what I've got in my work. Flawed, imperfect, not as good as I always hoped I could be, but I have shared who I am and what I believe here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. Thank you.